It is Thursday, July 4th, 2013. Happy Independence Day. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Ozarks at Large is also supported by the Center for Arkansas and Regional Studies at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, dedicated to the celebration and documentation of this region's history and culture. Ahead on this holiday edition of Ozarks, a novel source to help us celebrate the 4th. A British journalist explains how simply following a $10 bill around the middle of America for a month gave him new insight into this country and why he loved what he found. Then it's a birthday party for the Fayetteville Farmers Market. It turns 40 this week, and we'll chat with the co-managers. Plus, Robert Ginsberg gets us ready for a brand new jazz program. Well, new to us. It had been on the air for some 40 years before it's made its way to KUAF. He'll talk about that. That's all ahead on this edition of Ozarks at Large. First on this edition of Ozarks at Large, many residents in Mayflower who live near where an oil pipeline ruptured 3 months ago are expressing growing frustration with ExxonMobil and with some state and federal officials. They did not live in the neighborhood where people were evacuated and fear they could be suffering long-term health consequences from exposure to oil fumes. Jacob Kaufman from our content partner KUAR Public Radio in Little Rock spoke with several of the residents, and he has their concerns in this report.
Walking through her yard, Linda Lynch points to where the Pegasus pipeline is buried and where crews worked in the months after the spill on March 29th.
It runs right through Robin's backyard, that white house right there, and her front yard, and right across here. They took tore her whole fence down and dug her whole yard up, and they said that she wasn't inconvenienced, so they weren't going to pay her anything.
She and others who live on Snug Circle are upset that the only residents who were evacuated were those within the Northwood subdivision and two pregnant women nearby. Lynch's home is about 300 yards away from the site of the rupture across a thicket, but says she was not contacted by Mayflower police, state officials, or ExxonMobil. She didn't learn about it until about 2 hours later while at a church on her street.
We went inside the fellowship hall, which is right behind our church, to start working on our stuff, and I walked out of the door and I gasped for breath. I'd been in there like 45 minutes. And from the time I walked in and the time I walked back out in 45 minutes, the air was so thick. I mean, you've heard that old saying, you cut it with a knife. It was bad. I mean, you couldn't even take a breath.
That day, another resident on her street, Barbara Bogard, had similar problems breathing while at a store less than 100 yards away from the route that more than 100,000 gallons of oil traveled to the marsh along Lake Conway. Bogard recounted a family member's experience at a town hall meeting in the days after the spill.
My mother-in-law went up to the meeting, they had a town meeting, and asked a bunch of questions, wanted to know about, you know, the health risk, and, you know, it's breathing, all that, and they told them, Exxon stood right up there and told everyone that it was fine to continue on as normal, and so we did.
The concern by the Snug Circle residents grew as the days passed and work continued on cleaning up the spill. Anne Jarrell kept bees in her backyard just about 300 yards away from the site of the rupture. She contacted the state plant board about concerns over her dying bees.
They sent someone out that night. We have to wait till night till all the bees are back in the hive and, you know, close them in, and then they evacuated them out of the area. So that should have been a clue to me. Maybe I shouldn't be here either.
Jarrell says she was frustrated with the oil company for not being proactive in helping residents despite knowing the dangers present in the air early on.
Exxon knows what chemical compounds are in their pipelines. They knew that we were being poisoned by the fumes that we were breathing in, and anyone that could smell that smell should have been evacuated.
Linda Lynch says there was a growing sense of helplessness as residents independently pursued health care options about the dangers they were facing. She called a hotline set up by the Attorney General's office and was given another number.
They told me to call the hotline for Exxon. I said, I've already done that. I said, this number was given out over the TV news, And I said, we were told to call this number, and I'm calling it. And she said, well, we'll just have to refer you back to the Exxon hotline. And that's all I got out of her.
Lynch says after weeks of headaches, nausea, and chest pressure, she went to an emergency room in Little Rock.
From what I understand, I think she was the head doctor over the ER, came in and informed me that she had called the health department, and the health department had told them that there was no danger. We were in no danger of breathing this stuff.
Previously, Faulkner County Judge Alan Dodson, Lieutenant Governor Mark Darr, and Mayflower Mayor Randy Holland had recommended seeing specialists if people weren't satisfied with their general practitioners. Another neighbor, Geneva Long, lives near the cove of Lake Conway where oil pooled after running through storm drains. She says finding specialists and the financial costs made that a difficult burden.
As far as I have been informed, that there are no specialists in the state of Arkansas that are specialized to deal with these chemicals and the exposure. We have to basically contact our doctor and pay a pretty good chunk of change just to get the testing sent down here, and then we, as an individual, have to pay for the lab work. Well, in financial constraints, that's not possible.
All of the residents we spoke with, including Linda Lynch, agreed that ExxonMobil should bear the responsibility of looking into health concerns.
Why didn't Exxon set up something for us here, for us to go, where we wouldn't have to pay for it? You see what I'm saying? Why didn't they take the initiative? If you feel like that you are sick from the oil, even though we're telling you you're not going to be sick from it, we've got somebody here to talk to you.
Lynch says groups like the Faulkner County Citizens Advisory Group have held numerous well-attended meetings, but no government or ExxonMobil officials have ever come to listen to concerns.
Not a one. I haven't seen an Exxon representative. I haven't seen a city official. I haven't seen a county official, and they've all been invited. Nobody says you have to talk. Just come and listen to what we have to say and our concerns. And we're not out to get anything. We just want things made right. You know, everybody's filing lawsuits. My family hasn't got involved in that yet. We're starting to think about it.
Bogard says she feels bewildered about what happened and why they weren't among residents evacuated and put up in hotels.
They need to take, I don't know how you want to say it, just take care of it, because the way they did us, come in and lied to us, that everyone around here should have been evacuated. You know, not just this little small area in the subdivision. You know, well, we're right on the other side of the subdivision. You know, we're breathing it. We didn't have oil running through our yard, but we were breathing it.
ExxonMobil, the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality, and the Environmental Protection Agency have been conducting air testing and insist levels of chemicals in the air have been safe. But the residents say other outside groups have told them otherwise, and that only time will tell if they are exposed to dangerous levels of toxins, leading toward long-term health consequences. In Little Rock, I'm Jacob Kaufman.
And this is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, July 4th, 2013. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, a conversation with Steve Bogan. He's a British journalist who spent 30 days in the middle of America, including Arkansas, following a $10 bill. What that was like and what he found out just ahead on Ozarks at Large. Becca Bacon-Martin from Northwest Arkansas Newspapers will join me on the phone to give us a rundown of fireworks activities for today, tonight, and tomorrow. Plus, the Fayetteville Farmers Market celebrates 40 years of activity and a geography lesson in regard to Fayetteville from our favorite historian of all things Fayetteville, Charlie Allison. That and more ahead on this edition of Ozarks at Large.
A historic collaboration was made June 24th.
This is a live broadcast tonight from the Great Hall at Crystal Bridges here on KUAF, a historic collaboration between Walton Arts Center and KUAF and Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art.
Perhaps you missed the live broadcast or simply want to hear it again. Tune in this Sunday night from 7 to 9 p.m. for a rebroadcast of the historic collaboration.
And a standing ovation for the Artisphere Festival Orchestra, Corrado Riveras, leaving the Great Hall. I'm sure that he will be called back. A wonderful night of Mozart here in the Great Hall. This is Ozarks at Large. Stephen Bogan is the author of the book Follow the Money. It's just been released in paperback. In 2010, Steve decided to spend 30 days following a $10 bill across the United States. He'd done something similar for his bosses at his newspaper, The Guardian, in London, a few years before. He says with this outing, he merely wanted to have fun with the American version of his experiment, but wound up discovering a part of this country no standard tour would ever expose. People invited him into their homes, told him about themselves, and provided him with unforgettable experiences. Last week, I reached Steve at his home in London and asked if he'd mind answering some questions. He was delighted and even had some particularly wonderful things to say about the Ozarks. Our transatlantic phone connection wasn't the best ever, but we talked long enough for you to hear part of his tale recounted in the book Follow the Money. He says he decided to begin his American journey in the middle of the U.S., in Lebanon, Kansas. He also admits he didn't follow the exact same $10 bill, but rather used the transaction of a bill from one person to another. He'd simply get in the middle of that transaction and ask the next person if he could shadow them until they decided to spend a $10 bill.
And everybody said yes. And then to a greater or lesser degree, these people then let me follow them around as well and talk to them about their lives and, you know, what's good in their lives and what's bad and what's funny and what's happy and what's sad until they spent the $10 bill. And then it was on to the next person. And that was across six states and 3,300 miles I did that.
The six-state, more than 3,000-mile odyssey became a new kind of tourism.
As it progressed, I suddenly realized that inadvertently what was happening was I was getting a slice of American life at a particular time. I was taking the temperature of the country, and I didn't even realize I was doing it until I compiled everything back in the UK and suddenly realized that I had so many different types of people, everybody from truckers to musicians, you know, to bankers. I had a repo woman from Colorado. I had all sorts of people. And slowly but surely it dawned on me that I'd accidentally taken the temperature of the USA.
Steve Boggan is quick to point out this wasn't an overly serious study, but the approach allowed him access to a certain degree of honesty he says he wouldn't have received from a politician or an economist. One of his most memorable experiences came in Hot Springs, when the $10 bill he was following was passed into the hands of a musician in the blues-tinged band Crash Meadows.
And then a couple of days later, he mailed it to St. Louis to pay the Jews for a fantasy football league. So that was one way. You know, I got other people who bought apples with it, apple pie. It was left as a tip several times. Of course, it was used to buy quite a bit of beer. On occasion, it would be used to buy groceries. It was used to buy ribs, gas, I mean, all kinds of things. You know, one thing I was lucky with, and that's that nobody decided to put it into a bank.
In fact, when he followed a 10-pound note around England, that's just what happened. His travels ended abruptly when it was deposited into a bank. But he did pledge that he would not interfere in the way the sawbuck was spent in the U.S., though he concedes that by merely observing, he likely altered what would have been the normal trajectory of the money. But no matter, this wasn't designed to be a pristine scientific experiment.
Oh, no, it wasn't. I mean, to be honest, you know, I'm getting on a bit, Carl. It's not often you get the chance to have a good road trip when you're over 40.
Obviously, you went to places that you wouldn't have gone anyway. So when the guy with Crash Meadows, the band in Hot Springs, mails it off to St. Louis, then you knew that you had to drive north and go up to St. Louis, Missouri?
Yeah, I did. I made a deal with them. I said, okay, if you're going to mail the bill, I can't stop you, but can I do a deal? And they said, what? And I said, please, will you mail it with UPS or FedEx or somebody like that? And I will pay. I would pay for it to be recorded, signed for, you know, anything to protect it. And so they agreed, and they took it to the UPS office, and they mailed it, and it cost me $42.27 to send a $10 bill.
It turned out that money spent was worth it. The man at the other end of the money, accepting it as payment for a fantasy football league, turned out to be a construction worker whose current task took Steve to a place he had no idea he'd ever see.
And then all of a sudden, I saw this enormous mansion. And this guy was a construction worker, and he was restoring this mansion for the Baltimore Ravens quarterback, Mark Bulger. He was actually restoring his home for him. And that was just quite amazing to then, you know, I didn't go inside the house. Mark Bulger wasn't there, and I thought that would be unkind. It would be wrong. But I did get to see the grounds on the outside of the house. It's just fantastic. So, I just never quite knew where it was going to go next.
The biggest lesson Steve says he learned from his travels across the middle of this country, taking politics out of the equation, that people felt similar about many things.
But in terms of living day to day, we're all the same. You can go from one country to another. We kind of highlight our differences. But once you go into the family home, family's the same all over the world. And what's important is the same all over the world. And if somebody is struggling financially, they'll still want to pick up their daughter and give them a cuddle. You know, that doesn't cost anything. That doesn't cost $10. And you go from place to place and you just realize how similar to one another we are. And that was... It's quite humbling when people say, you know, who are you? And I say, well, I'm following that $10 bill. Do you mind? And they say, well, look, it's late. You know, where are you going to stay? And I say, well, here's my phone number. You know, let me know when you're going to spend the $10 bill. I'll just be in a motel nearby. And they'd say, hey, you're not staying in a motel. You know, you're staying with us tonight. Now, can you imagine that? You know, somebody you've met for 5 minutes.
One Friday night, the $10 bill was spent as a tip at a restaurant in Chicago. Steve explained to the waitress that, well, he came with that $10 bill. The waitress finally understood, but explained she wouldn't be spending the money that night or the next day. In fact, she might not be spending it until the weekend when she planned to visit her father, who would be bow hunting deer in Wisconsin near an Amish community. Then she said,
hey, do you want to come? And that was, I followed this 24-year-old girl for 240 miles, I think it was, who I'd met in a bar for 5 minutes. Can you imagine how I felt when she introduced me to her father?
The father's story, he was shot in Vietnam, is one of the most moving parts of the book. It was a story he had never shared with his family before. You can read about it in the book, Follow the Money. You can also read in that book about here. There is a section of the book devoted to Steve's drive from southern Missouri through northwest Arkansas into Fort Smith and on down to Hot Springs, a drive, he told me, after the formal part of our conversation, that really astonished him.
Oh, my God, what heavenly countryside.
Steve Boggan spoke with me from his home in London last week. The name of his book is Follow the Money. This is Ozarks at Large.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road. When along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab, and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare man, I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man.
This is Ozarks at Large, a happy Independence Day to you. Spending her Independence Day in New Orleans so she can see fireworks over the Mississippi River is Becca Martin Brown. She's features editor in Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. That is something you're looking forward to.
But I'm sad, Kyle.
Because this is it? This is your last day?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, you don't want to stay
anyplace
too long.
But going out with fireworks is good.
Yes, absolutely.
And you live down here. I guess after a while it just becomes home.
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy place, I think. For better and ill to become home, yes.
Yeah. So I'll be excited to get back to Northwest Arkansas. But the last thing on our agenda is to visit the New Orleans Museum of Art to sort of make a visit home.
Oh?
Well, they have an exhibit up called Inventing the Modern World. It's highlights from the artistic and industrial ingenuity of works presented at World's Fairs from 1851 to 1939.
Oh, interesting.
All sorts of interesting things. Art Deco glass, the new processes of making things, all kinds of technological and stylistic advancements. And the interesting thing about the museum is that you can see lots of familiar faces there, as in artists we know from Crystal Bridges. But the interesting thing about this exhibit is that it was co-created by the Carnegie Museum in Pittsburgh Pennsylvania, and the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art in Kansas City.
Interesting.
So a little piece of home, at least for me, in Northwest Arkansas. Now back to what's going on in Northwest Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Mayor's 4th of July celebration today, which starts at noon, with a car show, music at 7 o'clock, and fireworks at 9:30 at Harry E. Kelly River Park in downtown Fort Smith. It's free.
So it may not be the Mississippi like you have, but it's the Arkansas River.
And good enough.
Yes.
An evening at Orchards Park with music by Breaking Silence at 7, followed by the Arkansas Winds Tribute to America, and fireworks at dusk at Orchards Park in Bentonville. That, too, is free.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom Fireworks with music by Boom Kinetic at 7 and fireworks at 9:30 at the Northwest Arkansas Mall in Fayetteville.
Is there a more appropriately named band for this holiday than Boom Kinetic? I don't think so.
I cannot imagine what it would be. And Fire in the Sky, Family Fun and Fireworks at 9 at the First National Bank Soccer Complex in Harrison. Now, there's still things going on tomorrow.
Okay. Well, yeah, some people are making this a four-day weekend.
There's a Pea Ridge Street Fair with music and dancing and spaghetti and fireworks starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow night in Pea Ridge. Fireworks at 8 tomorrow night at Ventress Trails and Resort on Beaver Lake. This is the one that is intended to be seen by boat.
Oh, okay.
And it means that you need to look for mile marker number 8 on Beaver Lake.
Mile marker 8. Very good.
And there are fireworks after the Rodeo of the Ozarks on Saturday in Springdale, and fireworks at 9 o'clock on Saturday night at Prairie Creek Marina near Rogers. So celebrate all weekend, and I will be back with you tomorrow.
Please drive safely.
We will, okay. And it will be good to see home.
Yes, it'll be good to have you back in the studio. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, Robert Ginsberg, who hosts Shades of Jazz Friday nights and Saturday nights from 10 to midnight on KUAF. And Robert, you're adding something, some jazz programming that's very exciting to KUAF.
Well, since taking over the Saturday 3 hours of from 10 till 1 a.m.,
right.
I've discovered a program that I've actually tapped into in the past. And this was really a legendary radio broadcaster. His name was Fred Hall. He passed away early 2000. And Fred produced a show called Swing Thing. And in the making, really, this show, since Fred first interviewed Helen Forrest back in 1945.
Oh, wow.
He archived his jazz radio shows. There's over 1,000 of them. And his son has kept those archives alive. And we've picked them up. And we're going to start airing them Saturday night from midnight till 1 o'clock. I know that's not a great time for everybody, but this will be worth staying up for. During the history of Fred's radio career, he began in the early 40s. He during World War II, he was in the military, and he broadcast for the military. He's always loved jazz, and when he got back to the States after the war, he started one of his own radio stations out on the West Coast. He started producing this program, and he has a style of interviewing, and in the course of these shows, there's a lot of interviews that is so familiar and so comfortable. It's each interview was done under the most relaxed conditions, and usually he would go to the artist's home, and he knew these guys. So, and we're talking about interviews with people like Artie Shaw and George Shearing and Mel Torme and Peggy Lee and Joe Stafford and Dave Brubeck. And it's with a healthy mix of music. So through these archives that Tim Hall, Fred's son, has kept alive, we've accessed over 1,000 radio shows that we're going to broadcast in one-hour increments Saturday nights from midnight till 1 o'clock.
Great star of the Will Bradley Band and later Benny Goodman's and Ray McKinley's and the Glenn Miller Army Air Force Band and star of hundreds of record dates. And he'll be our special guest in this segment of Swing Thing.
I may be thinking of the wrong person, but did the University of Arkansas Press have a project with Fred Hall at one time?
They did.
Yeah.
He wrote a book on Dave Brubeck.
Right, right. That's
and
it, yeah.
And that was Fred, in the course of his career, wrote several books. I'm not sure what the other ones were, but Dave, they published his book on Dave Brubeck.
Right. So he would go to their homes and just...
Yeah.
I guess he's recording on, in the earliest days, reel to reel?
Reel to reel, absolutely. The quality is knocked out, though. It's really great quality stuff. And Fred, it's like, you know, when you become addicted to an evening soap opera and you start knowing the character, the more you hear Fred, it's, you can just tell how the empathy he has with these artists and how they are just buddies with him. So it's very candid. He has a great style of interviewing, and his personality comes through.
Now, obviously, I'm guessing you have not heard all 1,000 yet.
No, I have not.
Because what I think would be interesting, I do want to hear him talking to the legends, but I also am curious if he talks to some people who perhaps...
Like Peanuts Hucko?
We showcase one of the great clarinetists, jazz man, great Dixie player, Peanuts Hucko.
Well, yes, who are not household names, but yes, were great, talented folks.
Yeah, well, give a listen.
First big band with which a very young Peanuts Hucko worked was the Will Bradley Band, a very exciting one. He reminisced a little bit about those days for us.
We were all a bunch of young kids, and of course, Ray McKinley and Will Bradley were the co-leaders.
Will Bradley's real name was Schnickelberger or something.
No,
like that.
Schwichtenberger. Wait a minute. Schwichtenberger.
One of the most requested records we ever have is Celery Stalks at Midnight. And you were on it.
Yeah, it was actually my first solo on a record, although I had recorded just one other record before that. You know, I was only 19 years old at the time.
Holy smoke. Nobody was ever 19 years old.
Well, I don't think so. It's funny. It's a long time ago, maybe.
How are you going to decide who goes when, which one goes which Saturday?
Well, again, Tim Hall, who has really dedicated a lot of effort to his father's legacy, has created a database for the stations that pick this up. So you can do searches based on songs, on artists. So I'm thinking that what we'll do, Kyle, is there'll be some topical things. There might be someone performing at the Walton Arts Center that has a connection to another musician. And, of course, you know, I have played some of Fred's stuff.
Yes, you have. The Brubeck, right?
I played the entire 5-hour interview with Dave Brubeck and his wife right after Dave passed away. But also when the last time Dave appeared here,
right.
I played those. So it opens the door to kind of tie it into more topical things. And I should mention, Fred started broadcasting in the 40s, but it goes, his music goes all the way up to the 90s. So it's really...
So one Saturday we might hear something that was recorded in the 50s, and the next week it might be something that was recorded in the 80s.
Exactly.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Fred Hall's Swing Thing.
Thank you, Robert.
Thanks, Kyle.
This is Ozarks at Large. There is a birthday party Saturday on the square in Fayetteville. It's for the Farmers Market, the Fayetteville Farmers Market turning 40 on Saturday. He doesn't look a day over 29. Lori Boatwright and Teresa Maurer, who are co-managers of the Fayetteville Farmers Market, are with me. And do you have all the birthday accoutrement ready?
Working on it. This week's proven to be very busy for us getting everything together, but it's going to be a good time. It'll also be the first Saturday that Block Street will be closed, and we'll have special activities on the west side of Block Street. Have a kids' corner, have some market music, as well as the Block Street business owners through there will be part of the festivities that day as well, with special sidewalk sales and things like that. And then we'll have some different things going on in Town Center Plaza, including, you know, a station to give the market a birthday card and see some pictures of the market from 1973 to 2013.
Is it actually the 40th anniversary? July 6, 1973 is when it started?
The 3rd, actually.
The 3rd, okay.
Is, but, you know, we decided to
sure
kick it back to Saturday and have a big party.
So. What do you know, what do either of you know about that first ever market on July 3rd, 1973?
For one thing, it wasn't on the square.
Where was it?
I think it was in the parking lot behind City Hall. We'll have to
double check that.
The market actually moved to the square April of 1974. But that was the first Fayetteville Farmers Market, and 40 years later, we're bigger and better than ever and going to hopefully keep growing.
Any idea how many vendors were at that first one? If
4 to 6, I think. I would mm-hmm. say somewhere in that range. It was very, very small. And it was started as sort of an economic opportunity initiative to help give rural people a chance to have enterprises that would benefit them and benefit the community.
So you're going to have a chance to sign the card for the Farmers Market birthday?
Sign a card, and some other special stuff will be going on. I'm not going to give away too much right here. You're going to come see it for yourself.
Well, what time should you be there to make sure you see this special secret stuff?
9 to noon.
Okay, we'll make a day of it. Make a morning,
yeah, we're
yes.
Gonna when we do it all out. So we're going to have special activities going on from 9 to noon. Of course, market opens at 7. And but, yeah, we're excited. Just have a party.
And we're going to have a full square full of vendors. Every spot is going to be filled that I can fill with a vendor. So we're going to have our full complement of, you know, artisans and bakery and food court and produce and meat. So definitely if you're still, like, if you've run out of things on the 4th of July, come and shop on the 6th. It is a party, but it's also a time to shop.
You mentioned that the first market wasn't on the square. Probably there was just one per week. Things have changed in 40 years.
Things have changed.
Yeah. The season has extended to where now they were just open about 3 months that very first season. And so, you know, now we go from the first weekend in April until Thanksgiving. And last year we had the first ever winter market, which we hope to do again this year. So we're going to take farmers market year round and multiple days and times as well. And locations.
Yeah, and then having it during the week, which people still kind of forget. Mm-hmm. You know, we are open during the week on Tuesday and Thursday mornings at the square. So, and it's really been a great partnership with the city because they've had to make some special provisions for us to have it not only on Saturday but on those weekday mornings. And we have been especially grateful for that.
And another change in those 40 years, now you've gone out. You're at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks.
Yeah, exactly. And that has been a growing experience. We have got some folks from the neighborhoods there that have really been looking for an opportunity to shop that's not on the square because they've got other things going on. And we are actually going, by popular demand, to change the day of the week on the weekends. We had been having it on Saturday mornings. Now we are moving it to Sunday mornings.
Which means either day of the weekend now, if you're in Fayetteville, you can get Farmers Market. You know, if it slips your mind Saturday, you're out of town, boom, you can
now
do it on Sunday.
Now you can do it on Sunday. And we'll be opening at 9 a.m. on Sunday and staying open till 2. And the big change to anybody that's shopped at that market on Sundays in the past is having the tent. I mean, we always had that kind of nice open space, but the customers were in the sun. And now the produce and everything that's kind of perishable can be in the shade, and the customers can be in the shade as well. So we're really, again, we're responding to popular demand. I had a lot of people walk in last weekend and just unsolicited say, please, is there any chance you could move it to Sunday? So we're responding to that. And in agreement with our board, we are moving the date.
So does that start this Sunday, the 7th?
Actually, it will start on the 14th.
The 14th, okay.
But an important thing to know is that we are inviting everybody on the 6th, Saturday the 6th, to not go to the Botanical Garden, but to come down to the square and join us down there, because we're going to need kind of all hands on deck. So we are going to close the Botanical Market on Saturday, July the 6th.
They will not be there.
It will not be there, and then it will open up on Sunday, July 14th at 9 o'clock. In the tent.
The Wednesday evening markets will still be going at the Botanical Garden from 4 to 7, and that's a really nice market, a great chance to just stop in on your way home, pick up what you might need, and enjoy the garden. It's been fun. We've had all kinds of activities out there, from art demonstrations to kite flying to, you know, just a little something different. So it gives us an opportunity to play around and do some different things that we can't do on the square. So.
Gotcha.
Kind of the best of both worlds for us.
And we are now in the part of the season where, production-wise, we've got enough to supply all five of those markets. So especially with moving to Sunday, we have vendors that will be able to harvest also on Saturday and bring produce to market on Sunday. So we're actually hoping to see quite a few more vendors out there.
All right. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
And that's when we realized we had overlooked one small but very important detail. We forgot to ask Sandra which bedroom window was hers.
I've been sheltered all my life by the humane practice of courtship and romantic etiquette. I was unprepared for how the rest of the animal world likes to go about love. Flicks his wrist, sending the eggs up into the air into two perfectly laid out slow-motion backflips. But something goes terribly wrong.
Tales from the South, Saturday afternoon at 3:30 on KUAF.
This is Ozarks at Large for Independence Day 2013. I'm Kyle Kellums. Tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, it's a special edition of our program. We'll take 10 performances that have been recorded inside our studios here at the Carver Center for Public Radio in the past, or actually the first 6 months of 2013. From Uni Han playing Gershwin at the Mary Baker Rumsey Piano to hip-hop and more. 10 performances recorded during the first half of 2013. That's on tomorrow's edition of Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 on KUAF. In just a couple of minutes, a special geology research paper that Charlie Allison, our favorite historian of all things Fayetteville, did recently. You'll find out more about that in just a few minutes and why it's related to Fayetteville. That's ahead on this edition of Ozarks at Large. It is officially summer, of course. Many events going on throughout the KUAF listening area for this month of July. There will be a fundraising event for the Riders Colony at Dairy Hollow, Samplings and Sips. It's taking place on the 9th of July. It will include food and wine from area chefs and restaurants. Tickets must be reserved and paid for in advance. You can do that by calling the Riders Colony at 253-7444. The Fort Smith Public Library has plenty of free programs and events in July. Burrowing Animals of Arkansas, just one of them. It will be held at the Windsor Branch Library on Thursday, July 11th, beginning at 1 in the afternoon. Speaking of libraries, Emmy Award-winning children's entertainer Farmer Jason will perform at the Fayetteville Public Library on Wednesday, July 10th. He'll have shows at both 1 and 2 o'clock. Both children and adults will be tapping their toes along with Farmer Jason's high-energy blend of music. He once was in the band Jason and the Scorchers. The performances are free at the Fayetteville Public Library, and they're open to the public. Again, they're Wednesday, July 10th. For more information, faylib.org. Now, the Springdale Library in July has several things going on, including an Art in the Park event Thursday, July 11th. The Avid Book Club meets July 16th, and Library to Go classes are each Saturday in July, beginning at noon. For more on what you can experience at the Springdale Library, springdalelibrary.org. And finally, the Fort Smith Museum of History will host the exhibit The Divergent Path, Women in Arkansas History. It will open July 13th and remain open through October. The opening program is scheduled for July 13th, that's a Saturday, from 11 until 1. The exhibit is a glimpse into the lives of Fort Smith and Arkansas women who stepped outside society's rules and lived their life, leaving behind legacies of good character, boundless strength and courage, and fearlessness in the face of change. For more information, you can call the Fort Smith Museum of History, that number, 783-7841. KUAF and Ozarks at Large, supported by Fayetteville Animal Shelter and Services, supported by the City of Fayetteville, and dedicated to the welfare of animals and the people who associate with them. 444-3456 or Fayetteville Animal Services on Facebook for photos and information. KUAF and the Alma Performing Arts Center invite you to register for the Alma PAC 2013-14 season giveaway. One winner will receive two season tickets, which include performances from Nashville supergroup Time Jumpers, comedian Mark Lowry, recording artist Helen Reddy, and more. The drawing is Friday, July 19th, during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Registration and more information available at our website, KUAF.com. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Charlie Allison. He is the creator and the keeper of the website FayettevilleHistory.com. Charlie, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kyle.
In case you're not familiar with the website FayettevilleHistory.com, it's about Fayetteville history from 1828, but even before that, even before the founding.
A little bit to sort of set up why we ended up being founded here So it goes back and gives a little bit of state history and probably just a little bit of prehistory on the Indians who were here, but mostly after that.
Yeah. But not just history, you're also interested a little bit in geography.
Sure. And as most historians know, geography plays a really important part in what happens historically. It affects where people move, where they settle. So geography has a great interest to me as a historian, but also sort of just the visual aspects of it. I like maps, and so yeah.
Well, this affinity for maps led you to try to find out how many different cities in the country and the world are on the same level, on the same longitude.
Well, I looked at latitude first.
Oh, latitude. That's right. Yeah.
Right. But I also looked at longitude. Latitude, of course, is the going east or west from our town. What's exactly east and what's exactly west of us? Obviously, in our minds, we can probably think, okay, Oklahoma is west of us. Tulsa, that seems like it's pretty close to west of us. Is it on the same line?
Doesn't seem like I have to turn the steering wheel too far left or right to get to Tulsa.
Right. So I started looking at Google Maps and just trying to pick out towns that were on the same latitude as us.
What is our latitude?
It is 36 degrees north, 3 minutes and 45 seconds. Now that's I don't know who chose that. You can go just a few feet north or south and end up being a few more seconds north or south. And so I don't know if they picked a point on the square. Which is what I try to do, but
that is, for the record, the official,
right?
Yeah,
right.
So if you start going directly east and directly west from that point, are there other towns that have the same official?
There are two other towns that have the same official latitude. There's a town in Texas. Morse, Texas. And I had to think about it for a second just to even realize, oh, yeah, I guess Texas is east of us, or west,
west
of us,
yeah.
Right west of us.
Extremely far east of us, yes.
It's that panhandle that comes up on the west side of Oklahoma. And then there's a town in Iran called Takistan, Iran, that is on the same latitude. So, but there's lots that are really close.
But just for the record, exactly, we share with Morse, Texas, and Takistan,
Iran.
Iran.
Yeah.
Okay.
There may be small communities as well that just don't show up on the radar. Especially a lot of the foreign countries, it was tough to tell if I was dealing with – looking on Google Maps anyway, it was tough to tell whether I was dealing with a town or some larger – something like what we might call a county, or a province, something like that. There were lots of names close to our latitude that I was trying to look up and dig up and see just how close they were to us.
Well, who else is close to us, really close?
This is not a town, but we're on the same latitude as the Strait of Gibraltar.
Mm-hmm.
We're on really close to the same latitude as Victoria on the island of Malta. Our latitude cruises across the northern part of Algeria and Tunisia, so there's some Algerian towns and some Tunisian towns that are really close. Then Turkey. Let's see, what else? In the United States, there's Strawberry Plains, Tennessee.
Oh, of course, Strawberry Plains, Tennessee.
And
yes.
Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. More people know that name.
Yes, that's cool. So if the Wright brothers had been able to fly due west and never counter, they would have been able to land in Fayetteville.
They could have landed if they had found enough enough space.
Right. Drake Field wasn't there yet, so they could have gone into there.
Yeah, there was a pasture. They could have landed there.
Yes. Any others? Because there's a list at FayettevilleHistory.com, is there not?
Right. I just made a whole list of everything within a minute, a half minute north or half minute south. What are some good ones? Something that surprised me, I guess, you know, in my mind, I have a picture of the world map that I think is, you know, relatively correct. But when I started doing this, I realized how far off some of my ideas were. Like Korea, somehow in my mind, I always pictured Korea being north of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even sure I would have put Japan on the same latitude as us.
Oh, I wouldn't have. I would have thought far further north than us.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I don't know how far north of us I would have put it, but I would have put Japan north of our latitude. But our latitude crosses Japan, and then it crosses South Korea, the peninsula. And Korea itself is just sort of wrapped by Japan. I want to push it north of Japan, and it's not right. But so there's China, there's Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, Turkey, a little bit of Syria.
See, I think of so many of those countries as being further north than our latitude for some reason.
Right. It was a revelation to sort of go look at it and see who's close to us on that latitude.
Now, did you do longitude as well?
I did. After I got done with that, I went back and looked at longitude. We don't have nearly as – and I'm not even sure there's anybody exactly on the same longitude as us. Let me look real quick. No, I didn't find anybody exactly on the same longitude. And because so much of our longitude south of us is over open water –
right.
We don't have nearly as many towns. We've got a little bit in southern Mexico, and for the rest of them, though, are
into the ocean.
Into the ocean, yeah. And the only other towns that exist are basically North America.
Hmm.
If there were a town in Antarctica, we might we might have that, but we don't even have that.
No. Is it still up at FayettevilleHistory.com? Is there a link?
Yeah, there's a link. It's on a page I call the Book of Lists. And so it's just a list of towns that are on the same latitude or longitude as Fayetteville.
All right.
It's crazy.
But interesting. Thank you, Charlie.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Kyle.
This is Ozarks at Large.
I'm Brooke Gladstone, and on this week's On the Media, after a great day in the Supreme Court, gay marriage advocates review their media strategy so far.
In most of our ads, we have no gay people. Our grandparents talk about how proud they are of their gay children, or our coworker, or our neighbor, or someone else besides an actual LGBT person.
That and more on the next On the Media from WNYC.
Support for KUAF comes from The Amp, presenting Nashville recording artist Gary Allen with special guest Back Road Anthem July 12th. Doors open at 6 p.m. Music begins at 7:30. Lawn chairs and blankets welcome on the lawn. No coolers or pets, please. Tickets and more information available at amptickets.com or 443-5600. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle. And the 15th annual KUAF Summer Jazz Series begins July 13th with American bebop and jazz pianist, composer, and singer Bob Doro. This series will continue with the Composer Showcase July 27th and the Amina Figueroa Quintet on August 16th. Tickets and more information are available online at KUAF.com. Don't forget, KUAF and the Alma Performing Arts Center invite you to register for the Alma PAC 2013-14 season giveaway. One winner will receive two season tickets, which include performances from Nashville's supergroup Time Jumpers, comedian Mark Lowry, recording artist Helen Reddy, and more. The drawing will be held Friday, July 9th. The drawing is Friday, July 19th. During the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Registration and more information available at our website, KUAF.com. Tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, a special all-music edition of our program. We select 10 of our favorite. We couldn't get them all in because of all the music we've had on the program, but 10 of our favorite performances recorded inside the KUAF studios during the first 6 months of 2013. That's tomorrow on Ozarks at Large. I'll be joined by Antoinette Grajeda and Christina Thomas both at noon and 7 for that. And then if you miss it tomorrow because of perhaps weekend activities, you'll be able to hear that program on Sunday morning at Weekend Ozarks at Large as well. I'll be back with you Monday at noon with a brand new edition of Ozarks at Large. And on that edition of Ozarks at Large, a conversation with Brenda Hancock and Nicole Holland. Brenda is the daughter of Nicole, and Brenda wrote the book One of the Lucky Ones. It's the true story of her mother, who was a Jewish girl in the French Resistance. A fantastic book. Nicole now lives in Springdale, Brenda in Fayetteville. That conversation and much more will be heard on Monday's edition of Ozarks at Large. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Berryville. Have a very safe holiday weekend. Happy birthday tomorrow to Laura. We'll have the all-musical edition of Ozarks at Large on tomorrow at 9:07.